Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on there. I love radio. And guess what? I guess we got our hour. We lost an hour. And I'm feeling it. But the flowers are beautiful. How you doing, Mr. Rye?
Yeah, I like falling back myself, Reverend Harriet. I don't
Me
like
too.
springing ahead.
I don't either.
I've been it's kind of messed up my sleep pattern the past couple of nights, but I
Oh,
hope
yeah.
we can get back to getting on time. But
Yeah, well,
yeah.
my grandmother said only a fool would mess with time. So I don't turn my clocks back. Whatever they are, they get to stay. And then whenever it happens, then it's right on time, right for this area. So it's all good. Yes, everybody. But at least we'll have pretty flowers really soon, and some
Yeah,
people are
that'll be
having them.
great.
Yeah, that's
If we
going to
can
be
just
great.
stop the rain for a minute, we'll be all right.
Well, yeah, but we need the rain to make the flowers pretty.
Yeah, but I'm looking down some look like some houses ready to fall down on Rainier. There's
Oh,
some
really?
mudslides right by that stone cafe. If you go
Oh.
around there, it looks real treacherous. They
Oh,
got
is
one
that
lane
good?
blocked off, and it just and one house is
Oh.
just so close to the edge, it's not funny. So
Is that Rainier 167 going toward Renton? Is it
No,
Rainier right there?
this is right around when you leave Rainier Beach, the Stone Cafe.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah, right
Okay.
around there. Yeah, it looks treacherous.
Oh.
City of they've been doing a good job in keeping it together, but
Oh.
you can only control Mother Nature for so long.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's
And
true. Right. The eventually it's going to have its own way.
always.
Eventually. So
Exactly.
yeah, that was happening. So you got to come on and give us an update here. What's going on?
Well,
While we.
actually, to start out with this situation over in Gaza, I just can't understand why the president and the powers that be allow Israel and to just run all over them, just tell them what they're going to do.
Right.
And, I feel bad. The United States taxpayers' dollars of supplying
That's
weapons
right. And they're brown
to
people
Israel.
too. Yeah, they're
And
brown people.
it's genocide. Now they're starving people to death.
Right,
They're not
right.
bombing them to death. They're starving them to
Starving
death.
them to death. And then I
And
saw
then
something.
they keep trying to say that what happened, it was a tragedy that
It
Hamas did.
was. It was.
All the
It was.
folks in Gaza are not Hamas.
That's right.
But
That's
all
right.
these accuses being made. And it's genocide.
It
Now,
is. It is
when you're not
genocide.
bombing people, you're starving people to death.
Right. That's
And
right.
so many of these women and kids have died, innocent people
That's
died.
right.
And the folks will say whatever they want to. What happened in Israel on October 7th was not Pearl Harbor. Now, you
That's
can
right.
say whatever you want to. 2,300 people lost their lives. There was a war going on with folks with airplanes and stuff. And, you can just, I mean, I feel sorry for the tragedy for the folks in Israel that they suffered. But I'm very
Oh, yeah.
sorry. It was not Pearl Harbor, okay? It was not Pearl Harbor.
Right. You're right about that. But also, I think that we've allowed Israel to get away with so much and never say anything back, because then, we're anti-Semitic. And how we're Semitic, we are the Semitic people. And I just saw something, a little headline where Netanyahu rejected something that Biden was wanted to do. So how can you reject and still take our money? See, I
Well,
mean, and that, and
that's
then that,
why
and then that, and then that. Go ahead.
I'm
I'm
upset
sorry.
with the administration. I mean, Netanyahu, to make very plain, and I hate to be vulgar, but he's given President Biden a finger and the United States at the same time.
Well, yeah,
We
but
keep sending money over to
oh,
them.
yeah, do we need to
This is
stop?
ridiculous.
Right. Well, I just think we just probably need to say, hey, do a campaign on stop funding the war. I mean, stop, because every time we fund the war, I mean, and we fund so many things. We put it's $21 million a year to support the Holocaust Museum that happened in Europe, and nothing for the American Holocaust, is the slavery and the African American and the Native American. So it's always been unequal. And maybe this is going to show how much it's been unequal, because for 2,000 years, the Palestine people has been on the land. And it's verified history. I mean, like I said, I collect old dictionaries. And in 1928, dictionary said Palestine was a place. They took it out, and then they put it, they took it out in 1948, 47, they took out Palestine as a place. And so that's why those old dictionaries will give you something. It was there in the time of when Christ was supposed to be walking the land. So yeah. So anyway, it's a tragedy, and I guess we have to take to Twitter. I tell people take to Twitter. I mean, it's not Twitter anymore, but whatever it is. I mean that or Instagram or go call the White House. I haven't called the White House in a while. Maybe I'll just call the White House. I mean, because
Yeah,
we get
I think a
called.
lot of people need to follow White House. So what gets me is that we have black people in the military all around the world. And right here, we have people like Stephen Miller, used to be with the Trump administration, who wants to make, he's Jewish, he wants to make America white. And also Ed Blum, another Jewish guy, and he and Miller are making sure black folks are not able to get into colleges. They're challenging on affirmative action. And you got to think that World War II, blacks in all segregated units were freeing Jews from concentration camps.
Well,
You know, and you would think that somebody would say, "Wow, you might have helped one of my people so that I could be here." But that's not happening.
but
One of
that, yeah.
the first suits filed was by Marco De Funès. You
Well,
know, the
but
about it
I
is
think we
that.
have I think don't think we have a clear understanding. The Hebrew people or black people or dark people and the Jewish people never use the word Hebrew. I mean Hebrews. I mean I and so there's a disconnect there, and the Hebrew people. There's a cover on the 1950 New York Times. Nasser said that the Hebrews went to a Europe dark and came back white. Now that's what it said in the New York Times in 1950. Nasser, who was a president, who was the president over in Egypt at that time, said that. So I think that we need to go back and look at the history and see who the people were and see who the people who are converts maybe in the 7th, 8th, or 9th century.
Well, there were like 140 Jewish organizations that appealed to President Biden to stop funding the genocide in Gaza. So I also know that Jonathan Rosenblum, a person I work closely with, he's the
Oh,
one that brought
he used to be part of
our
Mothers
attention
years ago. Yeah.
about his folks having his wife's people having some property in the Cascades. And he kept saying the sign Coon Creek and Coon Lake. And he asked one of the neighbors, "Well, I never said any raccoons." And the neighbor said, "We're not talking about that kind of coon." But due to his efforts, the National Park Service, and I worked along with him, restored that name back to the black settler. His name was, it'll come to me in a minute, but they renamed the creek and the lake Howard, I think it was Wilson Howard, Howard Creek and Howard Lake. So he was able to do that. So I work with Robbie
Well, I mean,
Starkey,
I
a lot
work
of
with
Jewish
him.
people.
Well, I
If you
do
went to
too.
Garfield in the 50s and 60s, you went to school with Jewish folks because the restrictive covenants would not allow Jews, Indians, Asians, or blacks to buy property in certain neighborhoods. And
Well,
I
you're
know
right
that
about that. You're
this
right
came
about
up,
that.
and Reverend Charles Roy was going to take exception. Come to find out, in Hawthorne Hills, they had a restrictive covenant where he was living. So, I mean, I am opposed to what Netanyahu is doing. But I am not anti-Semitic. I grew
I
up
mean,
with
how
Jewish
can you be
folks.
anti-Semitic? Semitic means black. I mean, really. And then how can you be? Because we say, when they tell us that, we don't know what it means. We don't know what the ancient root of the word Semitic means black or dark. So we can never be anti our own selves. And that's the rhetoric that the people say, and we don't know what it is. Jonathan Rosenblum, I mean, I worked with him. He used to be part of the Mothers years ago. I met him with something with Lonnie Nelson. There's lots of good people everywhere, like you say. You work with a lot of good people. Because Judaism is a religion, just like being a Baptist.
Yes.
It's not a race, and
Yeah.
it's not a race. And we've been led to believe, people think it's a race, but it's a religion, just like Baptist, Methodist, with the ethnic group of people who practice that religion. See,
Thank you for the schooling, Reverend Dr. Harriet Walden. I certainly
But I love
appreciate it.
history, I'm
Yeah.
a closet scholar. I
Yeah.
love it.
Yeah. Well,
That's what I do.
we're still on the battlefield here for
Oh,
equity
yes.
for black folks in Washington State. Our numbers are horrible. As a matter of fact, right now, the large prime contractors can hire their inclusion manager. And you really think you're going to get justice when the inclusion manager is on the masses' payroll? And it just
Yeah.
seems to me that Our public agencies in the state have abdicated their
Yes, they
responsibility. So
have.
when Black folks don't participate, they say, well, the inclusion manager didn't select you. Well, if
Yeah.
the inclusion manager says a 2% goal is good, and during that, you were there sitting right next to me during the African American Legislative Day, February 19th, when the representative from the Washington State Department of Transportation said, the goal for African Americans is 1%.
I mean, can you imagine them saying that to us? I mean, so 1% is, I mean, can you just imagine that we're so low on the totem pole that everybody else is going to get more than 1% a point is going to get there. How much are the Latinos getting there? How much are the Asians getting? And then we know how much are the Caucasians getting? I would be ashamed to say that to a people who have been excluded and ran out of the central area. I mean, they're not all over the state been property. We don't know how much property they took from people over in Oka, up in Spokane and all the other places that are down in Vancouver, Washington. We don't know how many pieces of people's properties down in those areas that got taken,
Well,
So
from the
it's a
numbers that
tragedy.
the state provided for the public consumption, none of the minority groups are really doing well. As a matter of fact, there's one guy, his wife used to sell shoes at Nordstrom. She got certified as a woman-owned firm, did hundreds of millions of dollars. Then this Grady Trucking and Excavating had been debarred. They had self-certification, and they didn't comply. And this man has millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contracts, and probably have done hundreds of millions of dollars before the flag was raised. This guy self-certified and lied on the certification because if he wouldn't, if he wouldn't been telling the truth, he would not be decertified. So now we got a situation where this guy has all these contracts as a small business, and the person's not a small business. He didn't comply with the request made by the Office of Minority Women Business Enterprise. So when you don't do that, and we have one agency trying to fight to keep him in, which is
Right.
really unfortunate. So, no, we're going to Washington, D.C. on this one. We're not
Oh,
going
well,
to.
I hope so. I hope so because Washington, D.C. dropped the ball. I mean, like I said, I'm a voter Democratic ticket if they run in Lassie because they're not going to round us up. But we're not getting much. But the other option always that way. But anyway, I just always enjoy you bringing on, and I know you've been talking to the people back in D.C. I mean, what happened to the conversation about the bank? I mean, because my next guest is about here right now. But what happened to you were talking about a bank and all these kind of different things that Black people should have some kind of priority on some of these at the federal level. On some of these, I
I
mean.
checked with Aaron Nielsen, who is with the Department of Financial Institutions. We don't even have a credit union in Washington State anymore. And the thing about it is that we do need to have a bank. And it would be good if we had a national bank because we have Black men making all the money in the world for everyone else, the National Basketball Association, the National Football League. If each one of those teams, the brothers on those teams would say, we want 10% of the revenue to be deposited in a Black bank. We want 10% of the contracts to go to African Americans who look like the ones that's making all the money on the fields. And the same thing for the national basketball. If the brothers got together on all those teams, they have the NFL Players Association, NBA Players Association. If they say, look, we got to do something different, they're making billions and they should make it because they're making trillions for everybody else. But
I
they are in a position to say, we want 10% of the revenue to be deposited in a Black bank. We want
That's a good
10% of the
idea.
contracts
Right.
to go to Black-owned businesses.
Let's
Okay? So
let's
that's what
continue
needs to
that.
happen.
Let's continue that next week or the next time we're on, because I think that's a good idea and you've talked about it before. All right. So appreciate you coming on, and
All
it's
right,
always
Bradbury.
good. It's always a feisty and always great. So have a great rest of the week, Mr. Rye. All right.
Thank you very much, Bradbury.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
it.
You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. We'll be right back.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on air. And you're listening to Music of Puerto Rico. So, hey, guess what? My guest is coming on now is from Puerto Rico. Is actually in Puerto Rico right now. And she's been on before. How you doing, Ms. Vega? It's Judith Vega. Welcome to Mother's Justice Show. It's been a while since you've been on.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me back. I really appreciate coming on the show.
Oh,
what? I love your show.
I love you. I love everything you're doing. And I just always, it's a joy to talk to you. And I chose music. And so you can tell me a little bit of what was going on in that song.
Oh, that sounded like it was a salsa song.
Okay.
And I didn't get to hear the lyrics very much because they were just, it seems like they were improvising.
Okay.
For a little bit.
They said official music. So I said, oh, okay. When I was looking for some music because I know we wanted to have music when we go to break. But I invited you on to talk about, this is Women History Month. I mean, you know, Women History is anytime we want it to be, but you know how the colonizers are. They want to have Pacific time for Pacific things. So we just finished when I was growing up, it was Negro history, and that's what's on my birth certificate. So, but Black history, and so just wanted to see if you had time to come on and talk about a wonderful history of Puerto Rico. And I know it's full of women, powerful women. You're one of them. So, yes. So, yeah, it looks so good to see you too.
You too. I really appreciate it. I love the opportunity to talk about women and their role in Puerto Rico and in our society.
Right.
As you know, more than half of Puerto Ricans now live outside of the island.
Right.
So, and mostly live in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And we've been living in the U.S. for a long time. The invasion was in 1898.
Oh, 1898.
And so we've been seeing exile, economic exile, as an option in order to make ends meet on the island for a long time. Personally, my family left through my great-grandmother in 1945. Mm. And so that's almost been 80 years. Almost.
Yep, I'm a 46th baby.
Yeah, very close to a century there, getting close. And so lots of things happened, you know, culturally and politically in almost a century. So we have most Puerto Ricans living outside of the island, Puerto Ricans living in the island and working really hard to make it a good experience and to succeed in spite of colonial rule.
Right.
And lots of good things happening. So we have people, we have women that have been present since before the Europeans got here. The native women, mm-hmm. Taíno women, were a force to be reckoned with within our society. They always mm-hmm. held it up. And it was in many ways the leadership of the Taíno was passed on through the mother's side.
Right. The whole world was like that before colonizing.
Right.
Whole world.
So we go way back with that. And I remember being a little girl and hearing I read somewhere as a very young child, I heard that what we had in Puerto Rico was an undercover matriarchy.
Okay.
And that stuck with me because I come from a lineage of very strong women. Mm-hmm. From my great-great-grandmother, the ones that I know, right? So my great-great-grandmother on my mother's side, that was my grandfather's grandmother, was as far as I could go back in memory and mm-hmm. having met her. But her daughter, my mother, myself, and now my daughters, I mean, it's about keeping it going and,
right.
you know, lifting the family. And not mm-hmm. just the family in terms of blood, but family in terms of community.
Right, right. Community is really important. You know, I can imagine that. Just an aside, when I was growing up in Florida, Puerto Ricans went to school with the Negroes. I mean that because schools were segregated, and so they came whenever they could. I didn't know that much then about Puerto Ricans or Puerto Rico, as I know today. But I know we went to school. Some of them went to school at Coombs Academy or in Goldsboro or in Central Florida.
Right. Yes, and that's true. And because of who we are, and the mix of ethnicities and races that we have in Puerto Rico, we also had people going to the boarding schools with the indigenous people in the US as well. And so we lost a chunk of people there. We also had people going to school in Hawaii because our people were sent to Hawaii along with the pineapples.
Well, really?
Plant pineapples and sugarcane at the beginning of the 19th century. And so, yeah, we kind of
And they
scattered.
stayed. The ones that went to Hawaii, they pretty they
Many,
stayed. Many
yes,
stayed.
many did stay, right? And because island culture is so lit similar.
Yes, I was going to say that. You could just go out and pick some fruit to eat.
Right. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is that it's so far. That it's much farther than New York or Connecticut or, other places where we could easily come back home.
That's right.
So people never came back. In fact, my great grandmother's sister, she had an older sister that went to Hawaii at the beginning of the 1900s, and she never came back.
Never came back.
Yeah, we never heard from her again. And I'm always looking when I find any documents that help us trace people back. I'm always looking for her name.
What was her name?
Her last name was Souffront, Souffront, and I don't know her first name. So I was always looking by her last name. And my great grandmother's no longer with us, and that was when she was really young, because she was born in 1899. So at the beginning of the 1900s, when her sister left, she was still very, very young, so she didn't remember her official name.
It's so much disruption, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lots and lots of disruption,
Lots of it, just to keep us, having to swim just to survive, so we don't have the room to expand and just and go beyond survival and move
Right
into
now,
something best.
and Ireland never did recover from the earthquakes. I mean, not the earthquake, but the hurricanes. I mean, you never
Yeah,
got exactly what you needed.
we actually have not fully recovered. And the money just started to trickle in with this change of administration after Trump, because Trump had made some commitments to himself and publicly said that he wasn't going to allow the assistance to get to the island. And he made it very difficult. So for the first few years, we were basically on our own. And the problem is that it got manipulated by the media, and they keep talking about corruption and the money, and people take the money, and the politicians are corrupt. And
The word corruption, it doesn't fit
yeah.
it doesn't fit him.
Right. But that's a big deal because, in order to move forward as a nation, you have to have unity. And whenever people start buying into that, and then it just creates this atmosphere of mistrust, and we just don't trust anybody, and the politicians are all fighting. And of course there's a level of corruption, anytime you put politicians in the room like
Well,
that.
yeah, we have a level of it here.
But really what we're talking about here, in terms of Maria and the assistance that was supposed to get to us, is we were talking about assistance that wasn't there anyway. It wasn't there to be stolen.
That's right.
Because it had not been, it had been approved, but it had never been, it had actually never made it here. It just started trickling after that. So we see a lot of construction and a lot of building happening. But some of the communities and the individual families that needed it the most are still struggling to get their peace. And it's also very much reflected in the state of, for example, the schools, right? with Maria and then the earthquake and then COVID, those all happened back to
Right.
back. And they had already started working on the closure of schools. So they closed over 600 schools.
Wow.
And you would think that if they closed 600 schools and then they gave funding, that all of the schools would now be at least financially successful or
Right.
financially efficient. But that's not what we see. What we
Right.
see is that that there's a big push for private the privatization of schooling, and therefore we're going to let the system, the public education system, just kind of fall apart in order for people to exercise their option to
Right.
private education.
And the private education's this hodgepodge. What it is that the people at the top still is making decisions by, for the people. It's not as much autonomy as some people think it is. And then again, at the top of that, it's still the other people. It's not like it was, because when with segregation school, we had a school board, but they didn't do anything for us. Segregated schools were segregated schools. You didn't hardly get no resources or nothing from them. See,
Right, so you know what's supposed to, you at least you're prepared for that. Right.
That's right. And then you have people who really don't care. I mean, and then sometimes, I mean, you have the corporations doing some of these charter schools. I mean, and so it's a business for them. It's not a love of the children, of the love of the people. It's a
Exactly.
business. It's a business deal. And if public schools collapse in America, well, then or and on the islands and other places, well, then it's going to be forever a permanent underclass of people. And
Right.
I because for the work you do, that people have to be lifted out of poverty. You don't get out by yourself, and it's a misnomer to think that you can just get to out of poverty. That's why it's generational, because you have to be lifted out. And the only
Right.
last president who actually knew that was LBJ. Everybody else has blamed the people for being poor, but LBJ, I mean, I say this often because he married into wealth, but he was not a poor, he was not a rich man, and he always understood that. But people, they blame the poor for being poor, and when the structure of racism, and they called other people who are poor marginalized.
Right.
So.
Right. And here in terms of the public school system, really, it has been bringing it back full circle. It has been the women that are in teaching that have really held it up for
Wow.
the most part.
Yeah.
And every time something goes down, decisions are made, make decisions about closing 600 schools or something like that. They're mostly made by men.
Yes,
And
just like the ones who tell us about our body and never had a baby. The same
So
idea.
in administration, you have mostly men, and then you have women holding it down in the classroom and having to
Right.
interact with the families and having to make do
Wow.
with whatever little there is. But again, women have shown strength and have moved forward and kept the system alive. So
Right. Well, let's take a break right now so you can get some more of your country music in,
All right.
and then we'll be right back. You listen to the Mother's Justice Show on 11:50 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host, Robin Walden. We'll be right back.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Oh, good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 11:50 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host, Robin Walden. We're playing the music of the island, the music for my guest. She's from Puerto Rico, and actually, the show is coming. She's in Puerto Rico today. I on that beautiful island that I have not been to, but I know how to imagine I was there, and I can imagine the fruit and the heat and All that stuff. I can imagine that. Welcome, Miss Vega. Thank you so much again for coming
Thank
on,
you.
being my guest. And I, you know, we've talked many times, and it's been a while though. Thank you so much. Thank you. So,
You. I
yeah.
appreciate being here. And well, I wanted to talk a little bit more about that line of education and the role of women in education in our
Yes.
case as a nation that is has been constantly fighting for our identity as a
Right.
nation. And it continues. And now that media, there's so many forms of media and they're all diversely that there's so much diversity in who controls it, but how it affects us. It becomes really important to know that we have women out there right now, and we have women, we've had women in the past that have been the guardians of our culture,
Yes.
that have held up our culture both on the island and in our communities outside of the island and our diaspora. We have this a woman that I really wanted to mention from my hometown. Her name is Maria Alfonso Cristina Mangual, and we recently lost her last year.
That's so hard.
But she gave her life to holding up our culture and sharing it forward with the community, and in particular with the youth,
Right.
and in making sure that we understood our lineage in terms of our connection with Africa. She went and represented us all over the island and outside of the island as well. Always in the form of a teacher, a very
Right.
humble person, who just gave herself to guarding our culture.
Well, yeah.
And before that, long time ago, along the time of the beginning of the 1900s, that would be Pura Beltré, who was a librarian in New York City,
Oh, okay.
first Puerto Rican and Black librarian in New York City in the, I think one of the Harlem branches, pretty sure. And she gave her life to the alphabetization. Wait, I am getting my English and Spanish mixed up here. The literacy, sorry, the literacy of the children in our community
Wow.
and also the adults. Early 1900s and mid 1900s, she held it down at the library. That was along the time that we were also moving forward with Arturo Schomburg,
Oh, I was getting ready to mention
his
that.
work,
Yes, that's right. This
right?
work. I follow that. I follow that. I've never been there. Of course, I haven't been there, but I do follow the work of that.
Right. So that was about the same time that they were working for the public library at Arturo Schomburg a little bit earlier. But she was one of the people that I admired most for her work, Pura Beltré. She actually printed, she wrote down and had and published some of the tales that were our folklore that had been
Okay.
passed on from generation to generation. She actually took the time to write them down
Okay.
and publish them. And the other one that was huge in my childhood was Sonia Manzano. Is
Yes.
Maria in Sesame Street. I mean, I can't even, you know, people sometimes we underestimate how important it is for children to see themselves
Oh,
reflected.
yes.
And when Maria came on at Sesame Street, that was like the biggest thing for me, that, you know, here is the Puerto Rican woman in on television every day and being just that as her character, a Puerto Rican woman.
Right.
And they did this series where they had a week where they went to Puerto Rico and visited Maria's family
Okay.
here. So they spent a week in the town, and she showed and modeled our traditions in terms of, you know, how we address our elders and how we ask for their blessing and
Oh, yes.
how we celebrate, how we our relationship with our cousins, with our aunties, that
Oh,
whole
yeah.
situation about the lineage. So I really appreciated that, you know, and now in modern times we have so many young teachers and people that are committed to education in our community, both in the US, also not just from early learning all the way to higher learning,
Right.
that have been just great contributors. So
Do you
that's,
have you have a Supreme Court justice?
yes, we have Sonia, who
Yep.
I just totally adore. She also her family comes from my hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I loved, she came and did a presentation here years ago, when she was first selected as a judge. And she came, and you know, she doesn't speak a lot of Spanish. She speaks Spanish, but she's insecure, a little insecure like we all are if we grow up in the States. And
Right.
she made a promise to do her presentation in Spanish out of respect for her aunt who was there with her.
Oh, wonderful.
And I just really appreciated that. You know, I appreciate the respect for tradition, the respect for our elders. And of course, she's a brilliant woman,
Oh,
so
yes, she is.
good in whatever language. So,
Yeah, wow. Just beautiful. Now, I mean, a lot of the islands have basket weaving, and they have things that they were doing, or that might still be going on. And didn't know if you had women that were still b handing down the culture of basket weaving, or making clothes, or something that was handed down maybe from generation to generation.
you know, not that I haven't given that a lot of thought. It comes up like this morning when I was actually making my list of women that I might mention. There's a young woman who actually, we have a tradition of saints,
Oh, yes.
and the three, we talk about the three kings
Right.
around in the Catholic tradition, the three kings and the three wise men to us are saints. And
Okay.
we represent them as saints, and they're represented in wooden sculptures.
Okay.
And so that's one of the traditions that gets passed on, is that we have the three kings, they're sculpted in woods, and we have them in all sizes and all kinds of, yeah, they're beautiful. And that was one of the things that was mentioned, that there are some artisans that are women that have been passing that on from generation to generation.
Wow.
Yeah, and not just in mostly in the sculpting, but also in the sewing,
Oh yes, the
and
sewing,
yeah, and art, in sewing and mural
Oh,
painting as
okay.
well.
Painting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what is, how large is the island? I mean, it's, I mean, in terms of size,
Well, it's very small.
Okay.
It's I let me look that up.
I will.
Yeah, it's like three, let me look it up. But it's very small. And it's the other thing is that it's not just one island. Puerto Rico is more than one island. It's an
Okay.
archipelago, and it Puerto Rico would be the large island that
The
we call
large islands,
Borinquen. Right.
similar to Hawaii, and
Yes. Right, but we don't have that as many islands as Hawaii. We have three islands that actually people live in.
Okay.
But we have Puerto Rico, which is also Borinquen, the big island. And we have Culebra and we have Vieques. Vieques is bigger than Culebra. Culebra is the smallest one. Culebra is famous for having some of the most beautiful beaches in the world.
Okay.
And also lately for gentrification.
I was going to ask about transportation, ferries or something that ferry people cross,
Yeah, so we have that's where it all it, that's one of the things that keeps us from being able to live there, is because the transportation system is very limited. And in Vieques, both Vieques and Culebra were occupied by the US military for a long time.
Is that
Vieques is,
because of Cuba? Froze crime.
oh, it's because it's an empire and they like to occupy everything.
Well, they. well, oh, that spirit of We're told, I mean, the cannibalism spirit of not knowing when it's enough is still prevalent.
Yeah, it's and they would use it a lot for military ex exercises. And we can say it's one of the few places where the people have actually forced the US military to get out in the world. So yeah, it was a long struggle. For they actually want at one point they came and got all the people from Culebra and moved them to other islands in the Caribbean, not necessarily to Puerto Rico. And then people eventually came back. And then in Vieques, they could never get people to totally leave the island. And so it became very dangerous. And now people are still suffering from the consequences of, all the military exercises, and they still have issues about the bombs.
It's just terrible. I mean, one day, I mean, I just think if you had to do a documentary from, every every island, every nation. I mean, starting out, with the Portuguese over there in Brazil, and just go around the Pacific all the way around to the Atlantic, and just talk to people and put together a documentary of what has happened in 500 years. I think it would really be an eye-opening a situation. Then you threw us in there for good measure because we were transported, and then you got the native people on North and South of the continents of North America and South America. People sometimes forget that there's a South America down there also, and then experiencing the same situation. It's the same. It's the same everywhere. The indigenous people are begging in the land of their origin. For subsistence, for schools, for medical care, because I mean, and the other people live so well in the midst of that, I mean, in the midst of that, they live so well, and the indigenous people who was there, before the colonizers came, continue to suffer, and they've been suffering now for 500 years. So yeah, and
And it continues because colonialism requires a constant conquest,
Yes, it
right?
does.
So the conquest, and people think, oh, the conquest happened a long time ago. No, the conquest is like a continuous thing.
It's gentrification now.
Yes,
It's
it's a
gentrification.
continuous thing to
This
make
is.
sure that we can never
But
stabilize
that
ourselves enough
exactly. It's
to come
exactly.
back, you know?
It really is because it's called people removal. I mean, and that's how gentrification is too. It's the latest form of people removal from a property that a place that's dear to their spirit, because where you live is not only dear, it's dear to your spirit. You have a map in your head of all the houses, and then when they're not there, I call it the weeping of the soul, because your soul weeps when what you never was familiar with is gone. It's a tragedy. Yeah, it's a
Wow,
tragedy.
what a
Yeah.
way to put it.
Yeah, I did a workshop about that, I mean, because what happened to the central area, and people are still sad, and other people are oblivious to why you're sad. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, and it's like, wow. I mean, and then I put it together that this is the same thing that happened in Harlem and all around the world, where people once had a place, and now it's been taken over by another generation of people who act like, why are you here? And they come outside the door and they look at you, what are you doing here? And
I've
we've
been
been here since,
here.
yeah, and we've been here before the Civil War. And you all been down there before time was before time almost.
Well, here's the thing. It's 3,423 square miles. Usually they round it up to 3,500 square miles. So, yeah, not very big at all, especially if you compare it, if you look at a map and people wonder, well, if you don't like our relationship with the US, then why don't you just fight back, or why don't you just, disengage? It's like, well, have you seen a map? Have you seen
Oh
a map
yeah, have you seen a map, So yeah, this has been so wonderful, I just my desire is to come there and to see it, and to feel the warmth of the sun, that book about the warmth of another sun. Growing up in Florida, I knew what the sun feels like, and I know what it feels like to wake up with the sun. And that's a different reality on the brain when you wake up with the sun than
Right.
it is when you get warm around 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock when it warms up. You wake up warm someplace, and it's a, you know, it has something to do with your with your mind when you can wake up warm and feel the sun. See, so
This is true.
yeah,
Right.
so
Well,
yeah,
you
so.
have a home here. You can come anytime you want.
Okay,
Come and
well.
visit us.
I will. Yeah. Well, you know, and I just love your show. I love what you do. I love you being on my show, and I love your care for your mother. I
So
love your
much.
care. I mean, and I love your culture, and how the elders are still important, and we have to keep that going. Maladoma says when the elders are missing, the youth are violent, and we see that right now. I mean, the youth are violent because there's no connection. It's nobody
Right.
to tell them anything, you know, and stuff. So I love what you're doing and how the care
Thank
that
you.
you're giving your family, your elders. So
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And I look forward to us being able to have a conversation and talk
Yes,
a little bit
that's
more about how we care for our elders and
yeah, you know, I'd love to do
how
that.
we plan for that.
Yes,
Thank you
I'd
so
love to do
much.
that. And so that'd be my next show with you. So thank you
Okay.
so much for making time to be on
All
the Mother's
right.
Justice Show. All right,
Thank
thank you so
you.
much.
And
And tell your mommy
everyone,
and
have a good afternoon.
thank
And
you. Likewise. And tell your
my
mommy
love
I
to my
said
mom.
hello. All
I
right.
will do that.
All
Thank
right.
you so
Thank
much.
you.
Good
You're
night.
welcome. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you.
It's good night to
Good
us and good afternoon to
afternoon.
you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yeah. Oh, you listen to the Mother's Justice Show. We'll be right back. 11:50 a.m. KKNW. Thank you.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
An alternative to everything else on your radio dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Oh, good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I just have a couple of announcements I want to make. This coming Saturday, the 15th through the 17th, at Langston Hughes, it's going to be the IAC African Senate 10th Conference, and at Langston Hughes, and it's really going to be interesting. It's going to be wonderful. It's called "Empowering Yourself to Break Free from the Generational Curse," and the fugitive blacksmith, a skit based on 300 years of family trauma, and going back to the made one of the ancestors that was that went to Yale University, and back in the 1830s, he freed himself from bondage. This is going to be a great conference, and I'd like for you to know about it again. You can go to Eventbrite and get tickets with Dr. Risha Day. She was on the show, on Mother's Justice Show a few weeks ago, announcing this conference. It's going to be a lot of local people, but national people are coming in. And you're going to enjoy it. You're going to really enjoy it. This conference is called, again, it's the African, it is the IAC, and IAC stands for the Institute of African Senate Thought. And this is the 10th annual conference, and I go every year. I highly recommend it. Again, it's at Langston Hughes Performing Arts Institute, it's the 15th through the 17th, and make sure you can go do that. It'd be really, really wonderful. You're going to enjoy that conference. I'll be there also. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday, and I'll have a table. I'll be vending there the Virtuous Healing Card. So, anyway, I mean, Brother Omotunje is going to be drumming, and you just will really enjoy this and learn a lot about your ancestors and about what healing is necessary. I mean, and she, Dr. Rishon Day, has a new book out. Talk about the seasoning process that happened to make a that we went through, our ancestors did, and the suffering that they endured. And the next week, it's going to be another conference. It's called the Better Day Celebration. Well, it's the Better Day Celebration. This conference has been put on by Virtuous Healing Circle and Mothers for Police Accountability. And this is a circle, this conference, this celebration is also about our ancestors, and that they prayed us up. They knew they wouldn't see a better day, and we are the better day. And how can we connect with that? What does that mean to be the better day? What did that mean to actually have that connection? And what can we do to get that connection again? And we're going to look in for the Black Genealogy Society. I think they're still around. We should find that down and some information. We'll end with a healing circle, the healing circle that that we need. I mean, and all of this is about healing. I mean, we've been through a lot to be in America, and we're still going through a lot. As the previous guest was talking about, what happens when you get moved off the places that you've always been familiar to you. In fact, my former guest I just had on was actually from Puerto Rico, in Puerto Rico. She's Puerto Rican and proud Puerto Rican, and was in Puerto Rico a few minutes ago when she was on Mother's Justice Show. So, and it's still the Women's History Month. So I honor the powerful women in your life, and make sure that you understand that the women hold up the sky. That women hold up the sky. They do. They nurture. They care. They pass down a culture, and they care for the elderly. Due to Vigor and I will do a show soon about elder care and what it means to care for the elders. So remember, it's the African Synod 10th Annual Conference at Langston Hughes, the 15th through the 17th. Tickets are at Eventbrite. And then the next week, I can talk about that again. Next week is the Better Day Celebration. That's going to be March 23rd at Garfield Community Center. From 11 to 1. You've been listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. It's my joy to be on the air. Enjoy these spring-like days that's coming. Take care.